मो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम्। कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 89 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। The chapter is entitled Krishna and Arjuna Retrieve a Brahmana's Son or a Brahmana's Sons. Please repeat. Tri
Vidha
Akatayaha Tasya Rakshasaha Asuraha Suraha Guninyaha Mayaya Shishtaha Tatvam Tat Tirtha Sadhanam Trividha Kritayastasya Rakshasa Asuraksuraha Guninya Mayaya Shishta Satvam Tat Tirtha Sadhanam Trividha Kritayastasya Rakshasa Asurasuraha Guninya Mayaya Shishta Satvam Tat Tirtha Sadhanam Trividha Kritayastasya Rakshasa Asuraksuraha Guninya Mayaya Shishta Satvam Tat Tirtha Sadhanam Trividha Kritayastasya Rakshasa Asurasuraha Guninya Mayaya Shishta Satvam Tat Tirtha Sadhanam Vidha of three kinds, Akritayaha, form, Tasya of his, Rakshasaha, the ignorant spirits, Asuraha, the demons, Suraha, and the demigods, Puninyaha, qualified by the material modes, Mayaya, by his material energy, Shishtaha, created, Satvam, the mode of goodness, Tat, among them, Tirtha, of success in life, Sadhanam, the means of attainment. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Loving Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We're on television. Does this go somewhere? Is it live broadcast? Who's in charge for this? This is your computer. It's not live broadcast. No. In some temples they have live broadcast, do you know that? It's quite common now, you go to many, even small temples, quite often they have live broadcast there, and then people in the other side of the world can watch the class. It's a very good program because no one needs to go to class anymore. Maybe even you don't need a speaker, you can just have a recording and or something going on. And this way life becomes very simple. Or maybe sinful. This one also has a camera, doesn't it? You can do it live. It can be done on this computer. This is a Mac. You have a Mac computer, they have this latest technology. Anyway, it's just a thought for you here. Those who are eager to, say, get a good excuse not to come for the class. This is a good proposal to your council here. But a lot of people watch it. It's amazing, actually. And then you get these questions. I was in one temple recently. I don't know. I'd never seen it before. And all of a sudden on the screen, there were like questions coming in the middle of the problem as they come in the middle of the class. And you're like, it's like awkward, you know. It's right in front of you there, you know. And there's these questions coming up. You're trying to, anyway, it's interesting. People are, who cannot come to the temple. It's I just had a letter yesterday from one devotee who lives in some Hayman Island, up off Queensland somewhere. They're working up there, and they were ecstatic when they found one of these morning programs which they could watch every day with no association. So it has its value in this day and age. Today we're reading text 18. The Lord expands into three kinds of manifest beings: the Rakshasas, the demons, and the demigods, all of whom are created by the Lord's material energy and conditioned by her modes. But among these three modes, it is the mode of goodness which is the means of attaining life's final success. Report. In Krishna, I guess it means the Krishna book. In Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, there are different kinds of people existing in the modes of material nature. Those who are in the mode of ignorance are called Rakshasas. You have the book, is it? Oh, you've got the book. Well, that's good. Okay, now someone who hasn't got the book. Those who are in the modes of passion are called ignorant. No, we always said those who are in the mode of ignorance are called Rakshasas. Those in the mode of passion are called Asuras or demons. Let's see. And those in the mode of goodness are called Asuras or demigods. Under the direction of the Supreme Lord, these three classes of men are created by material nature. But those who are in the mode of goodness have a greater chance to be elevated to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. A better chance. My vocation? Krishna. I thought you were on the farm. Have you become a farmer? You're doing the farming?
We will be at the end of the year.
End of the year, summertime. Good. So this nice verse, purport, important topic. How it's here it mentioned these three types of, according to the modes of nature, three types of general categories of living entities. At least those in the human-like form, those in goodness, passion, and ignorance. The living entity is placed into various apartments. Now, these apartments are mentioned here in generalization, Rakshasas, Asuras, and Suras. Three different types of apartments, that's really basically what it is. The soul is placed into one of those apartments and acts accordingly. According to his karma and desire, Krishna arranges a suitable apartment and inspires him to act accordingly. We can't do anything without the arrangement of the Lord. We can't even forget Krishna without his arrangement. Without his will, you cannot forget Krishna. Now, if you want to forget someone who can't forget them, you know what it's like. Isn't there somebody who's giving you a problem? And you want to forget them. You can't get them out of you. Remember the story of Kamsa in the Krishna book? He couldn't forget Krishna for a moment. It was like torture. Torture chamber. So, in order to, you can say, insulate or protect the living entity from the situation in one sense, Krishna arranges through his agency of Maya that one forgets one's identity. It would be pretty difficult. As soon as you remember your identity, some of you may have had this identity crisis, as soon as you remember, I'm not this body, it becomes a bit of a, you know, problem if you're still maintaining material desires too much so. And oftentimes, even when devotees sometimes have come to the Krishna movement and gone away for various reasons, and they've got perhaps influenced by material objects and material people, they find it very difficult sometimes to enjoy like others seem to be enjoying. I can't. There was one famous Robin George case. One of her statements was she can't enjoy eating meat anymore, having come to the Hare Krishna movement. So this was like one of the charges against that we'd ruined her life because she cannot eat meat and enjoy it anymore. So like this, once you have a little bit of an inclination or understanding of one's actual identity, you can't really take part very well. Now, many of you have seen or taken part in drama, and this is one of the principles of drama, that the first thing you have to do when you take part in drama is forget who you are. If you can't forget who you are, you cannot really take part in drama. It does, I mean, unless it's some kind of purposeful comedy show or something. But if you actually want to take part in a drama, you have to forget entirely who you are. And then totally identify with the part that you have in the drama. 100%. And that's what happens. Some devotees, they voluntarily take part in the drama, like Aranyakashipu was a voluntary participant, more or less. Kind of got cursed. But basically he was assistant. He was a lead role in the drama. He had a lead role, so he voluntarily took the post and was placed in that situation completely in the mode of passion, as an asura, ignorance also. So in this way they can play the role very, very nicely. It's not that the soul is a rakshasa, an asura or asura. The soul is beyond these identifications, but due to the mystical potency of Krishna in the form of Mahamaya, the living entity completely forgets his actual identity as a eternal spirit soul and completely identifies with being a rakshasa. 100%. It's very rare that there's any kind of conception of, or concept of existence beyond that. Even if there is, it's only basically theoretical. Oh, one is a sura, one acts according to the situation one is placed in. And of course, if one is even lower down the ranks, you happen to be in the form of an animal or a plant or something, even more so, there's practically only ignorance mixed with some passion. But there's practically no knowledge at all. Sometimes there's a little bit of an influence of the mode of goodness. It's not like one mode entirely. Even sometimes, even Kamsa, you see, sometimes his heart melted a little bit, occasionally, with compassion or something or another, or recollection or repentance of some sort that maybe he made a mistake. That occasionally happens. So occasionally the mode, or they have some, let's say, inclination towards service to the Brahmanas or following some kind of shastric injunction, even though misused. There's something in the human form of life which is a little more than the animal species, which gives a chance. But the problem being that the rakshasas and the asuras, even if they do have some for some reason or other, some inclination towards some of the Vedic directions in terms of charity, in terms of various kinds of yajnas, in terms of having brahmanas and so on. But still their underlying say inclination or underlying error is that they are envious of Krishna. This is the real bottom line of it all. These suras, the demigods, those who are godly, are supposed to, really speaking, I mean, they're actually meant to be godly. They're not just people who are clean and so on and so forth. Sometimes even the demons are clean in one sense. But their hearts, the real thing is their heart. For one who is a devotee, naturally of Krishna, the good qualities of the suras, yes, yasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana gunaisa vatatra samasata sarova lava bhaktasha kadomana notarada manovate nasti davatovahi, that those who are actually devotees of Krishna or engaged in the service of Krishna, all good qualities come. So the key thing is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Although it's mentioned here that those who are in the mode of goodness have a greater chance to be elevated to the spiritual world and go back to Godhead. This is the normal situation. Those in the mode of goodness naturally have a better chance, not so implicated, and more inclined towards service to sadhus, more inclined towards discipline, regulated principles, Vedic injunctions, and so on. And naturally have more favorable qualities like cleanliness and mercy and truthfulness and so on. And austerity. But even if one doesn't appear to be in that mode, like some of us, the gunas, myself, for instance, according to the astrological gana, I'm born in Rakshasa. Rakshasa gana. Most people are in Kali Yuga, to be honest. If you look at the astrology, we find a few people born, because there they define it Manushyam, here it's called Asura. Passion. But majority seem to be Rakshasa tendency, according to astrology. But it doesn't matter. Of course it does in one sense. In another sense it doesn't, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that which was previously somewhat difficult, has made it very easy. And sometimes it's even better if you're that kind, because you don't really have too much in terms of, let's say, material qualities to be proud of in coming to Krishna consciousness. If someone in the mode of goodness, sometimes they are a little bit proud of their capacity, their qualities, sometimes overly attached to it, in fact, and sometimes they even compare it to Krishna consciousness. And thus fall away. So in this age especially, where everyone is really quite fallen, more or less, below Shuddha Sambhava, everyone's pretty low down, covered by ignorance. This age of Kali is characterized by passion and ignorance. If somehow or another the living entity is fortunate, very fortunate, Brahmanda Bhamiti Kom Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, that somehow or other the living entity is fortunate enough to come into the association of so wandering Brahmanda Bhamiti Kong Bhagavan Jeev, a very fortunate soul who comes into contact Guru Krishna Prasad by the mercy of Krishna, one very fortunately gets the association of a sadhu Bhakti Lata Beach, then even though one may be a very fallen, degraded, sinful person, one gets that mercy of a sadhu. And that's the real key. Rather than necessarily trying to make a mechanical effort to rise to the mode of goodness. Of course it's good if we can cultivate the mode of goodness. This is required also simultaneously. But the main thing is to get the mercy of a sadhu. And to get the association of a sadhu. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Just a moment's association with such a transcendentalist. Not someone in goodness, materially speaking, but someone who is transcendental to the three modes. So Someone has no interest. Even the suras, mostly their interest is somewhat materialistic. They may be pious, they may be godly, but they still have some materialistic ambition, some material perception, conception, let's say, which results in some material perceptions. We see this also in the Krishna book many times, even Brahma, Lord Shiva, even to a certain extent, but especially Indra and other demigods also, how much they were, under certain conditions, completely absorbed in their own selfish motivation. So one who's actually transcendental has no self motivation of that sort. His only motivation is to please Krishna. He's not doing it for name or fame or position or freedom from karma, liberation, or any of these, ignorant motivations. He's only doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, simply for the Lord's pleasure. Transcendentalist is one who acts like that. He's not controlled by the modes of nature. He engages whatever is at his disposal, within whatever capacity one has to engage it, for the pleasure of Krishna, not for his sense gratification, gross or subtle. So he's a transcendentalist, and he's not affected by the results because he knows that he's only, you can say, instrumental. It's not that this is his body or facility or resort or anything. He sees everything as belonging to Krishna. He doesn't condemn anyone, he doesn't praise anyone in this material world, so to speak, because he knows that they're just simply like puppets or passengers in a vehicle which is actually just creations of this material energy under Krishna's direction. And so they're just almost, you can more or less say, a helpless passenger. Because of desire and identification, the living entity thinks that this is me and praises others or criticizes others, etc., according to their relationship with your perception. One will praise and one will criticize the same situation, because perception is different. It's just how the living entity perceives things which has to be changed, not so much the body. So when we come in contact with a pure devotee who has this transcendental perception, who sees everything in relationship with Krishna, this is Krishna consciousness. This is the practical aspect, is to learn this art of seeing. See, don't learn it like you learn something at school. It's something which comes from association and mercy of seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Even the Rakshasas and the Asuras, those who may be against devotional practice, they're against the Asuras, one still sees them in relationship with Krishna. And the Vidyavanaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hasni, Shuni Chaiva Svapakicha, Pandita Samadarshana, person who is a little elevated, even if they're not fully Krishna conscious, but they have this spiritual realization, this Brahman realization, they see everyone as spirit soul. And they don't, they don't necessarily judge people accordingly. They see them all as spirit souls, just covered by a different dress. Of course, when we're dealing in the material world, we don't just deal on that platform. One has to use common sense for various reasons, and one has to discriminate to a certain extent. But on a higher level, the transcendentalists, they do not. They see everyone as their servant of Krishna, just covered by different dresses. But they take this position, sometimes they come like Prabhupada, and take the position of what's called a Madhyam Bhakta, who does discriminate between the demons and the devotees and the innocent and so on. Discriminates for the purpose of helping to elevate the perception or consciousness of the conditioned souls, no matter what mode they're in. We were discussing the other day about the program Food for Life. You have Food for Life here today. Every day, Food for Life? Where do you go, Food for Life?
Once a week they go somewhere that they serve food for
Port Melbourne. Oh, the Food for Life here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Many people come for lunch. So in London we call it Food for All. Prabhupada wasn't particularly interested in only feeding poor people. This is a program for everybody, prasad distribution for everyone. Those in the so-called mode of goodness actually are more needing it than those in the mode of ignorance, in one sense. In this age, they're not really in goodness, but they're kind of partially touched by well-to-do, little, you know, some quality maybe you could say, of no value because it's not in relationship with Krishna. It's on the mental platform. What's the use of those qualities? But nonetheless, they're engaged in activities, they're becoming more entangled, and happiness always leads to distress. So to save them from going down that path, prasad should also be distributed to them. That was Prabhupada's policy. In London they call it food for all, not just food for life. It gives it in kind of a connotation that it's only for people who are dying or something. But it's actually food for all. Everybody, every man, woman, child, insect, animal, bird, every living entity. This is broad perspective. Food for all. So a pure devotee sees like that. How are we going to deliver everyone? Common people see you should be helping the suffering people materially. But everyone is suffering in this world, no matter what state they're in. Everyone is in a condition of suffering. And this Krishna consciousness movement is really the only real panacea to help elevate people beyond the plane of suffering. It's not enough just to give somebody a comfortable position within the prison house. The material world is indeed a prison house for the soul. It's worse than what we can imagine. But it's a prison house. And some people, they feel that the real duty, even the religious people think, that the duty is to try to provide a better apartment for people in the prison, to elevate them to a better situation. But they're still in the prison. The proper or the more compassionate approach or understanding is how to release people from the prison in the right way. Not falsely, not by bribery, not by breaking out, by your own effort. And people like to do that, they want to merge into the Brahman. This is like escaping from the prison illegally, practically speaking. But by the proper method of becoming cooperative, of becoming submissive to the authority. So this is from our side, we have to become submissive to Krishna's will, and then one can be released from this material world very easy. So this serves to a certain extent, but still within the material world. One has to go beyond that. And only by the mercy of a sadhu, a saintly person, is it possible to realize this. By their grace, Krishna gives that realization. So the association of devotees, it's really the key, and this is our responsibility. How Srila Prabhupada has kind of tricked us, really. He said that one time, he said, "I've tricked you." He said, "I told you this would be very easy, that Krishna consciousness is very easy." He said, "But I've tricked you." It's not so easy. And we're constantly confronted with so many, let's say, different alternatives or different challenges. Let's put it in a positive frame of vocabulary. Different challenges on the path. We can perceive it differently. Prabhupada also has given us a very unique thing. Sometimes we may be thinking, well, what's this mode of goodness? But anyone who's following these regulated principles, they're known as the regulated principles of freedom in the Bhagavad Gita, prasadam adigacchati, is will get the Lord's mercy. So these regulated principles of freedom are very simple. Prabhupada gave four basic principles and said, this will situate you in the mode of goodness if you follow these principles. Even though we may have passionate intentions, we're following the mode of goodness. Vedic culture was that everyone followed the mode of goodness. Some, like Arjuna for instance, was Raja Rishi. He was Rajak, Rajasic in one sense, passionate. But he was following the mode of goodness. And of course in his case transcendental, because he was working for Krishna's pleasure. But traditionally those in passion, and even those in ignorance, work under the direction of goodness. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, those who are following these principles are actually brahminical. Prabhupada wanted Brahmins. Everyone here has this opportunity to lead society by following these principles and helping Srila Prabhupada, assisting Srila Prabhupada to elevate society, not just to come to goodness by following the four regulative principles, and some of you may remember what they are. Does anyone remember the four regulative principles? Even if you're not following, you might still remember. You remember one of them, Arvind?
No gambling.
No gambling. You know about gambling. You don't gamble, do you? No. Actually, life is a gamble. You have a casino here in Melbourne. It's quite a big one. And it's quite popular. And surprisingly enough, people are very inclined to gamble. Some kind of excitement, some kind of, I suppose you could say, pleasure. And you could never see it much. But gambling, yes, no gambling. Anything else? Is that all? Follow one regulated principle, I don't gamble. Anything else?
No meat eating.
No meeting. Meat eating? Eating. No meat eating. No meat eating. No eat meeting. No meat eating. Any others?
No intoxication.
No intoxication. And?
No illicit relationships.
Very difficult. Pardon?
No illicit relationships.
No illicit relationship. More specific?
Illicit sex.
Okay. No illicit sex. We'll leave the definition of that to your study. And some funny stories behind that. These four principles are situating one, at least in a protective situation of goodness. Even though we still have passionate inclinations, and sometimes we cannot follow, or we don't want to follow. It's symptomatic that we're not actually very advanced as far as that goes. But the main thing is, positive thing, is that Prabhupada has given everyone this opportunity, no matter how fallen we are, rakshasa, asura, whatever we are, by material covering, and eligibility may not be very, seemingly very good, but the eligibility is immediately available by the mercy of a pure devotee, who immediately gives us this opportunity. Anybody is eligible. Everybody, Prabhupada said, is eligible for Krishna consciousness. No one is excluded. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, everyone is eligible to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Just to give an example. You have Rath Yatra here in Melbourne? When is your Rath Yatra? Pardon?
January.
January? Usually in January. No? Big Rath Yatra? Small cart? You don't have the big one down Swanson Street? Panakram. You don't have a Rath Yatra parade, but a cart?
Parade, no cart.
No cart, okay. Because Rath means chariot. Huh? Palanquin procession. Okay, palanquin procession. So, anyway, this is the Rath Yatra season, specifically in the Northern Hemisphere. We've been to many Rath Yatras this last few months, from New York to London to Prague to many, many, many places. And many times we quote this wonderful lecture that Prabhupada gave in San Francisco in 1970. where he said he was speaking to the maybe 10,000 people assembled there. He said that anyone who sees the face of Lord Jagannath on this Rath Yatra parade will go back to Godhead in their next lifetime. You could look at it from different angles, but those were the words of Srila Prabhupada. It is possible. This is the special mercy of Lord Jagannath and the pure devotee. The pure devotee's words never go in vain. In another commentary, Srila Prabhupada, he also discussed that actually in Bombay with Giriraj Swami, was Brahmachari at the time, and some members quoted by Giriraj Maharaj. But it was there in a lecture also. And in another purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a commentary on how Shivananda Sen's dog was delivered back to Godhead there and then. How he said, I wish that all of the members, the devotees in our ISKCON society, will become pure devotees. Then, by their wishes, or their blessing, their good wish, their good will alone, all the living entities, I can't remember if he said the world or the universe, but anyway, he said like that, will go back to Godhead even without their knowledge. And again, it's a very broad statement, and we shouldn't take it for granted, but this is possible. So our business is simply to personally become a pure devotee by making Prabhupada's will, becoming one with our heart, the will of Krishna, following the will of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is the will of Krishna. We should enact the will. Krishna's left his will behind forever. So we should follow the will, and one becomes eligible to Sadayava, to enter into the kingdom of God. And Prabhupada is teaching us how to live our lives, to have this perception, to always see things in that way, this change of perception. What would Krishna want? How would this please Krishna? And on our day-to-day level, we can say, how would this please Srila Prabhupada? If Prabhupada were here, would this please him? He is here. We can't see him. So we have to evoke that remembrance of his presence by remembering like that. Srila Prabhupada's here. Would he like this? Would he like the way I'm behaving? Would he like the way I'm talking? Would he behave? And so on. This way, one starts to develop this perception of transcendence. Because by seeing things like that, one evokes the mercy of Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, one can be taken back to Godhead. It depends entirely upon on the mercy of Krishna. We make our effort, we try our best to follow, we have our shortcomings sometimes, but we sincerely endeavor. And by the mercy of Krishna, even though we may have some faults, I believe it was here in Melbourne, maybe I'm wrong, but I heard it was here in Melbourne where Srila Prabhupada said that you have to be completely pure to go back to Godhead, and only glum faces looked out from the devotee audience. They said, all right, 90%, still glum face, 80%, still pretty glum. All right, 70%, but not less than that. And then smiling faces lit up. So by the mercy of a pure devotee, we don't, say, take this for granted. But by the mercy of the pure devotee, even though we may have some faults, because we can't imagine how great it is to somehow or another come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and then had the opportunity to serve him, assist him. How dear that is to Krishna. There's nothing more dear to Krishna than this. You may try to serve Krishna for eternity if you wish, but that doesn't please Krishna nearly as much as if somebody brings a toilet roll and gives it to Srila Prabhupada. That simple act. Certainly that gentleman in New York who was a, what they call them, bums in New York, I don't know what you call them here, same term?
Yeah.
Comes stumbling into the temple room with a toilet roll, grumbles and groans a bit, puts the toilet roll where it's meant to be, and stumbles back out again with some more grunting and groaning. That service is unimaginably pleasing to Krishna. All the other stuff is meaningless, but that means so much. It's just like if someone's speaking a foreign language, like English in Australia. Nobody can understand it. Oh, excuse me. Somebody in Australia, I've been in too many foreign countries recently, is speaking French, and you only understand one word of French. Merci beaucoup. Everything else is meaningless, but if they say merci beaucoup, you know what it means. Or if they don't speak a word of Australian, and they say one thing in Australian, good on you, what is it? Good on you, mate? Whatever it is. She's alright, mate. If they say that, immediately, that you take notice of. Even if everything else is in French. So Krishna's noting that service to his pure devotee, that's what counts. Prabhupada also said, at least Giriraj Swami said, the Prabhupada said in Bombay, that what happens is at the time of death, when all those pictures come before the conditioned soul of his lifetimes, past times, come before you at the time of death, and they determine your future, and it's quite shocking and fearful. But then when they see, if they've seen Lord Jagannath's face, that picture comes up as well. At a certain point in the unwinding of the film, Lord Jagannath's face comes up. And when that face, when that picture comes up, it's like the sun. And all the other negatives are wiped out in the presence of that sun. It's just like if you try to develop a reel, a negative reel, and the sun is dead. It's all killed. Wiped out. Can be. By the mercy of the Lord, nothing is impossible. So potent. So if someone gets the opportunity to serve a pure devotee, they're a very special soul. It's not by chance. Good fortune. So imagine how good fortune situation we're in. And our great misfortune is the opportunity to bring that to others. Take it out. People are starving for Krishna consciousness. They don't know it. They're dying by the hundreds of thousands every day. Srila Prabhupada was crying to see the fallen condition of people in this material world. He didn't want to sit down and just cultivate his own bhajan. He felt sorry to see the condition of the souls of this world. Somehow or another, he said, this is a mercy mission. We have to give Krishna consciousness to others. This is our service. We have the medicine. It's not that we're anything, we're just a peon. But Prabhupada has given us the medicine. Our duty is to give that medicine to others for the performance of Sankirtan. Sankirtan is not only the Yuga Dharma, which it is the eternal constitutional nature of the living entity. It awakens them to the nectar, the Anandam Buddhi Vardhana. It awakens that switch which evokes their contact or their connection with the ocean of devotional service, the ocean of nectar. It's our duty to do that. Every time you go out on the street, for just give one example, if we give many, but on Harinam Sankirtan, which I believe goes out today, I don't know how many people will see the party, maybe 10, 20, 30,000, if you go out for an hour or two. In London, it's more than that. Every day in London, for instance, on Oxford Street, and they say, now these are old figures, it may be a more or less now, but it used to be maybe 15 years ago, an average of 1 million people a day shop on Oxford Street. Average. So I don't know what it is in Swanston Street, obviously not that much. But still thousands and thousands of people, one way or another, will see the Harinam Sankirtan party. And an impression, a samskara, will be formed in their consciousness, which will change their perception forevermore. Now it may take a little bit more than that to evoke, say, pure perception, but that is the beginning. This is the seed. The seed of change has been planted in their hearts. Even if they shout, "Get out of here, you rascal Hare Krishnas," even if they, whatever it is, but some another Krishna. It's like when Prabhupada, we're not justifying this or saying this, we should therefore think this is ultimately a good thing, but in Germany, when the devotees had some serious problems with the government there, for instance, newspaper articles were condemning ISKCON like anything. They wanted to try to remove it from the society, basically. But the article was full of Krishna's names. They had no idea. They just think it's a name of a cult. They have no idea of the transcendental nature, or to speak of the transcendental nature of Krishna's name. They don't even believe in such a transcendental nature. So it's just another name of a cult. So the whole article was full of the name of this cult, the Hare Krishna cult. And it was all in German. When showed to Prabhupada, the Buddha said, "These terrible articles have come out in the newspapers, Srila Prabhupada, about our movement." Prabhupada looked at it, all he could see was Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything else was meaningless. "This is a wonderful article." Overnight, everybody in Germany started asking, "What's this Hare Krishna? I've never heard of it before." 99% of people in Germany did not know we existed, practically. All of a sudden, the government overnight told everyone about Krishna. And everyone in Germany was talking about Krishna. They'd never even heard of him before. "What is this Hare Krishna all of a sudden? I never even heard of it. What is it? Some cult? I've never heard of it." "Oh, that's those guys who have bald heads, those Indians." So somewhere or another people remember Krishna. This is, Baba said, mercy mission. So it's going out on Harinam. Imagine if 10,000 people see the Harinam party. 10,000 impressions permanently, indelibly printed on their consciousness. Now they can't get rid of it. They'll try to get rid of it, but they can't. They do everything they can to get rid of it, but it won't go away. This is a really deadly drug, deadly poison. Can't get it out of your system once it's in. Not easy. So let us try to endeavor to assist Srila Prabhupada in whatever way we can, the Sri Prasadam, books, so many things. Try to connect people with Prabhupada and Krishna and start the ball rolling on their path back to Godhead. Yes, very Prabhupada said, in this very lifetime, one can go back to God without a doubt. She has faith in Srila Prabhupada's words and just endeavor to our best capacity with all our hearts to dedicate our lives to Srila Prabhupada's mission, which is for the welfare of everyone, not just certain people, but everyone benefits. Everyone benefits from the Sankirtan movement. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Antaraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Nataji.
This is awesome.
Mentioned the.
He was speaking about four liberty principles of Krishna. He spoke in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Quote in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Sorry?
Where in the Bhagavad Gita?
How does that verse go? Ragas, is that? No, which one is that? Four regulated principles. Ragas, yes, the Sadamani Gachati is the last line. I was reading it just the other day. I think it's. Have you got a Bhagavad Gita here? I'll show it to you. I think we can find it. If anyone knows where that verse is, then just inform us. You've been studying the Bhakti Shastri course, and now the more advanced Bhakti Vaibhav. Let's see. There it is. I got it right. It is Ragadvesha Vimuktais tu Vishayan Indriyais Charan Atma Vaishavide Atma Prasadam Adigachati. This is text 64 of the second chapter. 264. But a person, having described the nature of a person who is too attached to the sense objects, contemplating them. We sometimes have to go through this before we learn too, as devotees, you know. One can understand it for a person who's absorbed in the material world, but sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, we also continue to contemplate the sense objects. And you learn. Krishna, it's not that you fall like an ordinary totally conditioned soul exactly, they're already fallen. But you learn from the fall. You may have to experience the fall to learn a lesson, to realize that, you know, this contemplation of the material sense objects is not a good idea. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. Some of you may have experienced that. And from such attachment, lust develops. We may have experienced that. And from lust, anger arises. You become angry. Now, anger comes out in many different ways. But frustration, you want it. And someone gets in your way, you will try to argue with them, you will justify, you will lie, you will do anything to get your way. Whatever it is, you know, you've fallen in love with a beautiful Brahmacharini or something, or whatever it is. Has captured your attention, and then one becomes deluded, and then from delusion one forgets the injunctions of Shastra, one forgets one's previous experiences and the experiences of others and so on, and then when memory is bewildered, you lose your intelligence. You can't discriminate really for what is in your good interest, and then one falls down again to the material pool. So that happens quite a lot with aspiring devotees in the neophyte stage especially. It can happen even at more advanced stages if one's not careful also, but especially in the beginning stage. So, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulated principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. Of course, there's engagement of the senses. It's not just a question of avoidance. The positive side is to engage our senses in devotional service, so that we're neither attached nor averse. We neither accept it for sense enjoyment, attachment, or we reject it, like the Mayavadis reject the material world. We see it as Krishna's, and we engage it in his service that way. One is free from attachment and aversion, at least in principle. Purport. It is already explained that one may externally control the senses by some artificial process. But unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is every chance of a fall. Although the person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment for sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore he is transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinary undesirable. And if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would ordinarily have done for his own satisfaction. Therefore to act or not to act is within his control, because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. He's not controlled by the modes of nature to act according to that circumstance. like an ordinary person. Krishna, because he's working for Krishna's pleasure, therefore he has control over the situation. This consciousness is the causeless mercy of the Lord, which the devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached to the sensual platform. So we may still have our material attachments, but by the mercy of Krishna, one can attain to this consciousness and not be carried away by these material tendencies and desires and so on. We must have the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada says that as soon as you come to Krishna consciousness, even in the beginning stages, that your life is never the same again. Krishna takes a special interest in that soul. The way everyone, we like to see things on the surface, and so many people are coming, so that's all right, but there's a lot more to it than that. The more advanced stages, you see everyone who even once says Krishna's name is on their way back to Godhead. They're the most fortunate souls. Even if they go to the Sinarama, or the Laundarama, or the Autorama, or the Sinarama, or the Sexarama, or whatever Rama they go to, they are somehow or another coming in contact with Krishna's name. Their path back to Godhead has already started. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We're just business to speed it up in ourselves to become pure, of course, but to help speed that up. Even if we're not here, it's still going to go on because it's Lord Chaitanya's desire. He's very, very merciful. So Prabhupada says that Krishna takes a personal interest. It's no longer that jiva is completely conditioned by the modes of nature. Krishna arranges the situation to slowly, maybe slowly, but surely to bring them to Krishna consciousness by adjusting things, even though they're unaware of it. Anything else? That's his mercy. He's always trying to take us and bring us back to Godhead. He wants us back to Godhead. We're his children. If any of you are parents, you know what it's like if your children go away and reject you. You know how it feels.
Well, I've heard exactly.
Can you pass? Can somebody shout it onwards?
What exactly happens after death? We can see from Arjuna's death case that the Yamadutas came to take him to hell. But in some scriptures it says that the soul lingers around the body around the house or lives for a certain period of time. So actually what happens?
Oh, this is a big question, isn't it? It's a very, very, you can say, big science. The science of reincarnation, the science of moving from one place to another. And it will vary to some extent according to the situation, the individual jiva. Sometimes it's said that it's sometimes said this, now I'm repeating it, Yamaraj sometimes, in some cases, there has to be a little bit of a break before deciding what to do with this guy. What to do with him. Such a character. So such characters sometimes may linger around for a while. A terrible situation, either in or out. And other living entities were pious, they don't go through that at all. They don't go to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj was told his followers, those who have chanted the holy name of Krishna, you don't touch him. Leave him alone. So, you know, it sounds terrifying that everyone's going to go down and this and that, but there are so many other conditions and circumstances which may alter that normal situation of being pulled out by the Yamadutas and so on and so forth, which does happen. We've heard of people who've actually testified to something like that. We had an interesting experience in Malaysia, I remember now, back in about 1985, one of our devotees, a new devotee, his I think it was his I'm not sure. Somebody was passing away, neighbor or something. Neighbor, I think. And there was two of them passing away more or less at the same time. And this sounds too funny to be true, but this is what he said. There was maybe in the same street, a couple of them were passing away, maybe in the same house even, or nearby, same block. They were passing away. And one, he knew them both. And one of them died and one of them didn't die at that moment. But the one who didn't die was suddenly terrified. And they were screaming and screaming, apparently. And then when they came to, sort of external communication afterwards, they said that they saw these horrific creatures that looked just like the description, because he'd read it, the description of the Yamadutas. And these fellows came with their chains and ropes and everything, and they said, hey, wait a minute, this is the wrong one. And they moved, they disappeared, and at that very moment, the guy next door died. I don't know, they make mistakes. Maybe they didn't give the right address or something, you know. It was 61, but it was supposed to be 61A. Anyway, that's what I said. So there's all different types, you know, some hang around like ghosts. Of course, that's another life form. So it's hard to tell. That split moment when a living entity quits that body, it seems like a split moment, but it can seem like millions of years. Time is a very unique thing. And I'm not sure whether they just kind of evolve immediately into a ghostly body, or whether that's like their, maybe someone knows, that's their like their, having been judged, that's what they've got to have for some time. I'm not sure. Interesting topic is one of those things. You find different statements about different situations in different places, because it would seem that there is a tremendous amount of variety involved. It's not all, you know, like a mechanical machine. Each person is individually looked at carefully. It's not just like impersonal, sweep them all away. You can study it further if you wish. The main thing is to follow the example given in the pastimes of Vijayamrita, because he chanted the name Narayan, therefore he was not eligible to be taken to the Yamadutas, to Yamaraj, but rather he was eligible to go back to Godhead. He had to do a bit more before he went back to Godhead, but his eligibility was begun. Okay, we'll finish there. Vantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gopremanandi.